passada no centro.
Hello, good people. I welcome you to the Soccer Talk FC podcast, World Cup edition, episode 1. And basically, in the next couple of days, what we'll do basically is have a conversation with you around the World Cup to prepare you for the game on Saturday. We will not be doubling down to go in depth talking about tactics and in details, but at least a basic level of information that you need to get into the game, to watch each and every game, talk about the managers, talk about the good players, talk about some of the probably tactics here and there, and see how much information we're able to give you to prepare you for an exciting experience when the World Cup kick off over the coming weekend. Now, before we get into the games per se, I'm sure a whole number of us have heard a whole lot of negative things about the World Cup. Well, each and everyone can have their opinion on it. In my own opinion, which again I was not even able to share when I covered the details in another podcast on the mic. So here I'll just spend the next couple of minutes. I mean, it's not worth a lot of my time because I feel like, and I'll put it bluntly, the West has sore losers, United States particularly, because they lost out to the bidding host. A whole lot has happened between then. I'm not going to sit here and say I understand the inner workings of how it all worked out. It is very likely that FIFA were corrupt in appointing or nominating or picking Qatar as the host nation. But ultimately, when you listen to the media, wherever you look at, you get to see negative information about the World Cup. Negative vibes are being fed to us left, right, center, so that at least somehow it dampens the morale and the excitement about the World Cup. I am glad that the show is going on. I am extra glad that it's going on in Qatar. So I will not spend a whole lot of time. Like I said, I don't have a lot of time for it because it's simply politics, and I'm glad that it's turning out the way. I really hope that we'll have an exciting and memorable competition with very little distractions. So at the same time, let's get into our discussion for today. Today we'll be talking about Group A, basically, giving you basic information about Group A. And before I start, I'd like to give a lot of credit to Barry Glendening and also Ali Tariq. I'm very grateful, guys, if you're listening right now, because I reached out to them and they were able to get me a whole lot of information. They did some research into some of the countries and sent that to me. So whatever I produce, whatever I say to you today, believe me, about 60-70% is what they worked on. I was also able to get a couple of information from LinkedIn. Did I say LinkedIn? Sorry, I meant Wikipedia. So there are times that you will find me quote or paraphrase. Basically, I read to get some more information from Wikipedia. Without much ado, let's get into it. And Group A has Netherlands, Qatar, Ecuador, and Senegal. Now, I think I have been following World Cup, I mean, serious following since 1994. And one trend that I mean, in my conspiracy theory ways, one trend that I have noticed is that the host team tend to get a very soft group. So while the groups were being built up for the Qatar 2022, I was wondering how it would turn out for Qatar. At some point, I was even thinking it might be about the lowest quality group in World Cup history. As it turns out, Group A has Netherlands, Qatar, Ecuador, and Senegal. And well, haven't seen how football has developed since about 7-8 years when the bid was won to like the past couple of months when the draws were made. I don't think this is about the worst quality group that includes a host. I remember particularly the, and I think South Africa had a very easy group, but they didn't make it out of it. Last year, Russia had Egypt, Uruguay, South Korea. I feel that was very cheap. But I think the weakest group that any host has ever been was 2002. And I have a whole lot of terrible memories about that World Cup. I think it should even be investigated. There should be a documentary about it. It was in 2002 when there was Japan, Russia, Tunisia, and very, very poor Belgium team. So I think that's the, up till today, opinions vary, but in my own opinion, I think that's about the weakest group I have ever seen that has a host. And well, South Africa turned out to be like the first host that did not make it from the first round. Looking at Qatar, and from what I have learned about them in the last couple of weeks, I expect that Qatar should be able to make it. Qatar might probably make it out of this group. It wouldn't surprise me if they do, really, but at the same time, it's a much tougher group because when you look at it, there is the Netherlands, there is Senegal, who is, I think, the highest ranked African country. So it might be much more difficult for them than we thought it would be. But the good thing is the Qatar team had a lot of years to prepare. I mean, since they won the bid, they were not a footballing nation, so they had enough time to prepare themselves. What they did actually was to set up an academy. I think they call it Aspire Academy or so. And they used it to train their teams for the World Cup. So I don't know what to expect from them, but I wouldn't be surprised if they have a very formidable team because while other teams in Europe were playing for their clubs and co, they concentrated particularly on this World Cup. So they may just come out and give us a spectacle. I'm really looking forward to it. The first game of the World Cup is Qatar taking on Ecuador. So we'll see how that goes. All things being equal, I expect that Qatar will still do better than South Africa, or than most people expected, at least. Well, I mean, like I said, it's a decent group. Netherlands are there, Senegal are there, African champions. The Ecuador team, they are like the youngest team to qualify for the South American. And to even qualify from that South American qualification, I mean, you have to be good. And again, without rubbishing them, Qatar are the current Asian champions. Now, I don't know how they became champions, but they are the current Asian champions. The fun fact about them is that the team that played that final, that Asian Cup final, 10 of the 11 of the squad are not from Qatar. And this is a country that is very particular politically, especially about nationalization and citizenship. So you can be born in Qatar and you are not even a citizen of Qatar. Now, most of these guys are born either in France, Algeria, or Morocco. Again, I want to understand that, I want to believe rather, that considering that Qatar is a desert where people would likely be migrant. I mean, you're not likely to find a family that have been living there for like 5 or 6 decades. The migration movement of people is likely to be high there. So I'm not able to at least, how do I put it? I'm not able to at the least clarify how they are able to get people who are born in Morocco and co. Because normally, if you're not from Qatar, you cannot nationalize to be a Qatari. But that notwithstanding, I don't know how they want to do it, but we could have a World Cup where 10 of the 11 players playing for the host teams are not even citizens of the countries. And again, that is one of the downsides of international football for me. So they have a manager whose name is Felix Sanchez. Felix Sanchez began his career as a coach of the Barcelona youth team. He coached at Barcelona between 1996 and 2006, and then he moved to Qatar and started coaching there full time, where he managed the under 19, under 23, and also the senior national team to the World Cup now. They have Almoez Ali, who is the nation's top scorer in the history. He has 42 goals in 89 games, and he will be ably supported by Bassan Al-Rawi. I'm looking forward to watching both of them. I mean, they seem to be very excited. I saw a couple of clips, especially about Almoez Ali. I saw a couple of clips on YouTube, and he seems to be a very good goal scorer. So, looking forward to watching Qatar take on Ecuador, Netherlands, Senegal, and with all the supports that they'll get from their fans. So, let's take a trip to Netherlands, and of course, the biggest elephant in the room is Louis van Gaal. Now, this is a man that sadly is dying because he has some form of cancer, and one of the uniqueness about Louis van Gaal generally is that he likes things to be done in his way. And part of doing things in his way is, I think there was a documentary that came out sometime. It was in Dutch, so we didn't have much vibes from it for those of us that are English speaking. But then it was stated there that the players did not even know that he was going for chemotherapy and all those treatments while they were going through qualifiers. So he's a man that I really respect as a person in truth, and I really hope that he has a very good World Cup, because I think after this World Cup, he's retiring. He's a man that, when it comes to him being a football manager, he's a man that divides opinion. I mean, a lot of Manchester United fans will tell you so much about Louis van Gaal. Netherlands team tend to have very good defenders right now. They have Van Dijk, De Ligt, what's this guy's name at Inter Milan? De Vrij, yeah, so they have some quality guys there. Then when you move forward, you have the Frankie de Jong, a couple of youngsters also in the middle, and then Memphis Depay, I hope he is fit enough. Also in attack, they have a very young team. Luis Van Gaal, like I said, is the biggest elephant in the team. He's like the he's their biggest star. And he's a football purist. I also learned that they are yet to lose under him. I find him a very fascinating personality, knowing who he is. He's the type, like I said earlier, who likes things to be done his way. He's not afraid to speak out and he's not afraid to take decisions. But as a coach, I mean, if you ask for my opinion, I think he's overrated. I first knew him at Ajax. I saw him at Barcelona. I supported that Barcelona, actually. And every time I feel Luis Van Gaal, he has a way of, his team has a way of raising your hopes and then they let it down. It's just surprising that he never managed Arsenal, because they seem to have very similar qualities. Although that being said, I have to admit that winning the Eredivisie with AZ Alkmaar is out of this world and deserves some very huge commendation. But then his time at Bayern really, for me, I mean, really dent a hole on his reputation. The Dutch national team, like I said, are coming with a couple of quality players. They have Gakpo also, whom has been linked to Manchester United a number of times. He's an exciting talent. And much more exciting is Xavi Simons. The funny thing is, I knew Xavi Simons at Barcelona, at the Barcelona La Masia Academy. And I followed his career to a point he moved to Paris Saint-Germain. And for me, I just felt, okay, that was the end for him. He joined PSV Eindhoven under Ruud van Nistelrooy. And he's been able to somehow create a niche for himself. He's yet to play for Netherlands, so his debut will be at the World Cup. That notwithstanding, he'll be happy to see him. We'll be happy to see him get some minutes. The fascinating thing for me is that when I looked at their roster, I saw that they picked Luke de Jong, Jan Verhorst. You know Verhorst that was in Burnley last season? And they also have Vincent Janssen. Now, these are three tower tall men. So what it means is that if Netherlands needs goals, we're likely to see these three men being bumped into the box and then the ball being kicked directly, route one, into the box. And I think that was going to be very exciting. So I'll be looking forward to their games also, because aside from Trala, they play good football. I feel Luis Van Gaal is this manager who has potential to mix it up. And I'm really, really hoping that a time comes in the World Cup that we have Luke de Jong, Jan Verhorst, and Vincent Janssen against the opposition. So, Senegal, my African brothers, and Senegal has been like the best African country in the past couple of years. I expect them to also be the African country that will represent Africa the most. Their sporting culture is unbelievable as a country, if you have followed them over the years. They are locally managed by Aliou Cissé, a former player, and their star player, Sadio Mane, of course, but, well, he's running against fitness, so we're not able to tell exactly how he would be by the first game against the Netherlands. Particularly, I think their chances rest a whole lot on Sadio Mane's fitness. If Sadio Mane gets good, they're likely to get out of this group, in my opinion, with Netherlands. But then, if Sadio Mane particularly is not fit, it is going to be very difficult for them. Although they have a couple of supporting cast, Ismaila Sarr is there. I mean, he's doing very well in the championship. Although I feel like they don't have any established striker, and that might come to hurt them. They have Nicolas Jackson, though. He might be able to fit in, but then, not at this level. Well, they are very much a tournament team, in the sense that while they do well in the qualifiers, they tend to step it up during the tournament. So I saw the African Nations Cup, which they lost in the final, and the following one, which they then won. They're a team that gets better as the competition goes on. So I really hope, I mean, for Africa's sake, because I feel they are the only ones that has a realistic chance of flying the flag high. I really hope that they make it out of this group. I personally feel that if they avoid a loss against the Dutch in the first game, they should be able to get out of this group and get into the second round and could potentially face England or Wales. So you never can tell. We might be talking about a quarter final for an African team again in 2022. So the final team, I almost said club, the final team in this group is Ecuador. Ecuador is managed by Gustavo Alfaro. Again, I'm referring to LinkedIn. He's an Argentine. He has managed all over South America. He has been in charge of Ecuador since 2020. Ecuador has the youngest team from South America to qualify. There was some petition against them by Chile so that FIFA can kick them out of the World Cup because they fielded an ineligible player. However, FIFA did not kick them out. FIFA just punished them by 3 points deduction against qualifier of the World Cup in 2026. Now, if we're looking for exciting young talents, I think you should watch Ecuador because they have a very young team. This is about the same team that won the South America Under 20 Championship in 2019. They also got to the semi-final of the Under 20 Championship, the World Championship in 2020. So it's about the whole, almost the whole team again that is coming in 2022. And I think their most high-profile players currently play in Brighton. They have Estupian, they have Caicedo, and I can't seem to remember the name right now, but he's Ecuadorian also on Brighton's roster. They're one of the lowest ranked team in the World Cup. This is a country that is, the notion around them when it comes to football is usually about the altitude, usually when opponent goes to Ecuador to play against them. But they have somehow changed that stereotype. They've won a couple of games, at least for them to have qualified, they won games away from home, and they've been doing well. The fun fact about Ecuador, and this is very funny, is that Ecuador has not scored a goal or conceded a goal in the last 10 hours of football. So again, if you watch the first game against Qatar and it ends goalless, if you watch the second one and the third one and they don't score, you shouldn't be surprised. Okay, so that brings me to the end of Group A review. Tomorrow, another episode will be coming out. Hopefully, I'll have enough time to be able to do Group B and C so that we can quickly catch up before the World Cup starts over the weekend so that you can have enough time to at least have an insight into this team, which will then help excitement when the games comes around. In the meantime, once again, my name is JB. Thank you so much for listening. Group B, Group C would hopefully come out. I can tell you categorically Group B will be coming out tomorrow. Hopefully, if I have enough time, I'll also be able to throw out Group C. But I'll try to squeeze time out. And I really appreciate you for listening to me. If you want to be part of this, please let me know. I will definitely appreciate if it becomes a conversation rather than a monologue. Thank you so much for listening once again. Bye. Take care of yourself.